Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Praise him. You should just want to praise him. You should just want to give him glory. You want to give him honor. Want to give him praise because it is the glory of God that is being experienced right now in this place. God is moving. Yes, he is. Up and down, in and out the aisle. Because when we begin to think of the goodness of Jesus, when we begin to think of all of the things that he's done, there should be a praise that wells up with inside of you. There should be an attitude of gratitude. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. My God. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on. See, this is what he wants. He wants us to entertain his presence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where God's presence is, his people ought to show up with a praise on their lips and a song in their heart. Why? Because he's been just that good to us. Hallelujah. Come on. Everybody, put your sanctified hands together and give God a hand clap of praise. Give him praise. Give him praise from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, brothers. Thank you. Thank you for inviting us into your worship experience. We get it. We receive it. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I'm telling you right now, whatever you came for, God's got it. He's got everything that you have a need of. But you got to be willing to give it to him. Amen? I want to invite your attention to a couple of passages of scripture, if you would. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, the 30th chapter, verses 25 through 30, and also Proverbs 20 and verse 7. Once you have it, if you would, rest on your feet for the reverence of the reading of the word of God. And if you cannot, for whatever reason, we understand, keep your seat, and at another time, God will give you strength to be able to stand up. But in Genesis 20, 30, 25 through 30, if you allow me to read this in your hearing as you read it silently, and if you are here and you don't have a Bible or a tablet or a cell phone, just look up on the big screen and those scriptures will be there for you. Again, Genesis 30, verses 25 through 30. It says, and it came to pass, when Rachel had born Joseph, and Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I might go unto my own place, to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service, which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with thee. For it was a little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord have blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house? And Proverbs 20:7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Eternal God, thank you. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for an opportunity to be on social media, Lord, those that are there on Facebook and YouTube, and Lord, even our anchor podcast. We pray that this word will go out with an anointing, that wherever they are, it will, Lord, convict, convince, and convert them. And Lord, for those that are here live and in person, again, Lord, is our prayer, Lord, that the word of God will meet us right where we are, convict, convince, and convert us. And Lord, when all of these things are said and done, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And yes, Lord, please lend me your anointing. For it is through your anointing, Lord, your word, that lives are changed, souls are saved, people delivered. Lord, and if there are any that have never repented of their sins nor been baptized in Jesus' name, today's a great day. In Jesus' name. Before you're seated, I just would like to ask you to look in part in Genesis 30:27, and I'm reading this from the New King James Version. It says, the Lord has blessed me for your sake. The Lord has blessed me for your sake. In the remaining time that I have, I want to minister to you from this thought. Blessed by association. Now turn to that person next to you and say, neighbor,
I'm blessed
by association. God bless you. You may be seated. Blessed by association. Remember, it said in part, the Lord hath blessed me for your sake. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, there is a principle in the Bible that we must learn. And it is imperative if we want to enjoy God's best for our lives. Anybody want to enjoy God's best for you? I don't know about you, but I do. Listen to me. Blessings come by association. The Bible says he who walks with wise men are blessed. That's in Proverbs 13:20 in the New King James Version. You see, there's an account of Israel entering into the promised land. I know many of you remember that account. And it's a great teaching point for us today. If we would just keep company with people whose spirit was like as of Joshua and Caleb, those are the ones that say, let's go and possess the land. Or you can hang around with the other 10 spies who believed it couldn't be done and died in the wilderness. Now the choice is yours. We also find that Lot obtained flocks, herds, and tents because of his uncle Abraham. However, it had gotten to the point that the land wasn't able to bear all their substance because it was so great. And you remember what happens now. Abraham goes to his nephew and says, listen, nephew, our herdsmen are, you know, fighting with one another. That ought not be. We know that the land can't compensate all of this. So I tell you what, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. And the Bible said that Lot looked and he saw what he thought was a plush land. It was a plan. It was a land that was just from the eye. See, you got to watch your eyes. They can deceive you. But from the eyes, it looked like, man, this is it. And it was Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he said, I'm going that way. And you know what happened? He goes there and y'all looking at me with that funny kind of tone. Read your Bible. And in the book of Genesis, it'll give you this account that when it's all said and done, Lot and his family goes to what looked and appeared to be good land. But when he got there, it was a land full of sin. It was a land where men were with men and women were with women. See, the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. So don't think that this is a new thing that's happening. And so I'm sharing with you what happens. So now we find that there's a visitation that comes because now Lot is in Sodom and Gomorrah. His family daily is being vexed because of the spirit of homosexuality there. And so what happens is, on the other hand, Abraham is being visited by three angels. They come down and they begin to be serviced by them. They want to feed them and talk to them. And then the other two angels had an assignment. They were going to Sodom to find out if what was being heard a noise in the heavens. See, your prayers do reach heaven. Oh, yes, they do. And God hearkens and he listens. And so he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to send some angels down there and check this thing out. And so their assignment was to go to Sodom and find out if what was being heard in heaven was true. And if it was, it was going to be dealt with. But the Lord stayed back. And he said to himself, shall I hide this from my friend Abraham? I'm going to tell you, it's good to be blessed by association. It's good to be blessed by association and know God for yourself. And so God says, no, I won't do this. And he began to tell Abraham, he says, I know basically, and you go read it, but I'm just paraphrasing, you're going to be upright. You're going to tell your family what they need to do, how they need to go, and they're going to live holy. He said, but there's something that's about to happen. You know your nephew Lot that's over there in Sodom? I'm about to rain down fire from heaven. Fire and brimstone. Fire is about to happen. So what happens now? He says, well, Lord, let me pre-adventure. In other words, Lord, be patient with me. What if there are 50 righteous people there in Sodom? Would you still destroy it? Lord said, for 50, I won't do it. Maybe Abraham started thinking, maybe Lot wasn't doing what he needed to do while he was there. His light wasn't shining like it should be. He said, well, wait a minute, Lord. What about if it's 45? For 45 righteous folk, would you still destroy it? Lord said, I will not destroy it for 45 righteous people that's living holy. Abraham got to thinking. He said, wait a minute, Lord, now come on. I know I'm trying your patience. Pre-adventure now. What if it's 40? Lord said, no, I won't destroy it. If it's 40 righteous people, then I will not do it. Abraham probably said, he hasn't been with me. Hadn't seen him in a minute. Maybe he's slipping a little bit. He said, well, wait a minute, Lord. What if it's 30? 30 righteous folk. If they're there, would you destroy it? He said, nope, not for 30. Lord, come on, I know. I know you're tired of it, but pre-adventure. What if it's 20? 20 righteous folk. Lord said, nope. I will not destroy it if it's 20 righteous people. Now, I don't know if this is doubt or what, but he steps to the Lord one more time. Now, Lord, this is the last time, pre-adventure. What if it's 10? 10 righteous folk. 10 righteous people living holy in an ungodly place. Would you destroy it? He said, nope, not for 10. I won't destroy if it's 10. Now, for y'all that had that deer caught in the headlight look, go home and finish reading how this thing turned out. But he said he wouldn't destroy it for 10. No, not if it were 10 people. So we see what Abraham did. He bartered God always from 50 to 10. I want to tell y'all so bad, but some of y'all need to read it for yourself. Let me leave it right there. Now, there's another account in the Bible. You know, when Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, when they said, you know what? Let's see what's going to become of his dreams now. They put him in a pit and they were going to sell him. And you know what's going to happen. They were going to kill him. One of his brothers said, no, let's not do that. We can make some money off of him. Come on. Pulled him up. Ishmaelites were riding by. Sold him to him. Sold him to a man by the name of Potiphar. Mm-hmm. And guess what? When Joseph entered into Potiphar's house, he brought great blessings with him. And then guess what? Turns around and goes to Pharaoh's palace. And then when he enters there, the whole nation prospered. And then back to our storyline. When Jacob wanted to return home to his own family, Laban, which is his father-in-law, said, please stay, for I have learned by experience that the Lord have blessed me for your sake. He understands I'm blessed by. Talk back to me. Let's go back to the scriptures and we'll kind of backfill on this. But I want to go back to our original scriptures and look what happens. And it came to pass when Rachel had bore Joseph. Remember, there were two sisters, Leah and Rachel. And you know that Laban was a deceiver because he told him, listen, you can have my daughter. And when he woke up that next morning, it was the cross-eyed one. And when he looked, he said, man, you tricked me. He said, 7 years, and then you can have the other one. So he says, now, she has her son, Joseph. Because don't forget now, she couldn't bear children. He had to go into her handmaiden to produce children. But now God has blessed her with Joseph. And now Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto my own place, to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done to thee. Then listen what Laban says. He said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord have blessed me for your sake. He understood that. I'm blessed by association. I just can't let you walk up out of here like that. I need you to stay because where you are, the blessing. So the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Come on now, tarry here with me a while. He even said this in verse 28, and he said, appoint me thy wages and I will give it to you. In other words, name your price and it's yours. And then he comes back with this and said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee 7 years for Rachel, 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel, that's 14 years. And another 6 years he served to get the cattle. He was with him for 20 years. And he's asking him. He said, wait a minute, bruh. You know me. You know how I served thee and how thy cattle was with me. For it was a little which thou hast before I came. Man, you only had a couple herds. If that, now look at him. The Bible says it was multitudes. They've increased unto a multitude, and the Lord have blessed thee since my coming. See, he understood. Bruh, I know you my father-in-law, but you are blessed by association. And how? This is what he says. And now, when shall I provide for my own house also? In other words, it's time to let me go. It's time to let me do what God is calling me to go. Go back home and start and do what you do. Now, as we look at this account with Joseph, find that. We find the one with Jacob. Now, we can also find in the New Testament, somebody said, well, wait a minute, he made a case for the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Somebody said, let's see. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We can also find in the New Testament this principle of being blessed by association. Now, let's look at the church in Philippi. Let me give you a little background of that. The Philippian church was blessed by association. They had a long partnership with Paul, which was an apostle, a missionary, if you please. And Paul was in partnership with him in spreading the gospel. They supported him financially, and he ministered to them spiritually. Now, let me make this live for those that may not be aware of this. We are partners in mission with a man by the name of Ben Foley Tetega in Togo, West Africa. Bishop Tetega, he comes here and he ministers to us spiritually, but we support him financially. And I can honestly say, and we've been in partnership over 20 years, we have been blessed by association. Just in case y'all did not know it, it's a man over there across the pond, as they say, praying for this ministry, praying for you individually, praying for this church. So now you see how that thing works out. Well, Paul, what he did, he writes and he says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And that's in Philippians 1, 3 through 5. And I can also say that with Pastor Ben. It has not been a time that when I call him or we talk, he does not say, oh, my brothers, make sure you tell the saints of the Most High I am praying for them. And he begins to name y'all name by name. I'm saying, wow, this man is praying for us. Now, this is what happens. And you might be saying to yourself, well, okay, they were in partnership. They were together. God was blessing by association. But how does that equate? Well, this is what happens. There was reward. Somebody said there was a reward. Paul says it like this, all of us share in God's grace with me. See, that's the partnership. That's what came out of the partnership, the grace of God. You see, the word grace here simply means all of God you'll ever need for every situation you'll ever face. Wow. How about that? How wonderful is that? You see, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, Paul got it from Jesus, and the Philippians got it from Paul. Oh, come on, work with me, y'all. Those look like, I'm trying to let you see how they were blessed by association, where the association came from Jesus to Paul, from Paul to the church of Philippi. They were blessed by association. You've got to learn this, y'all. You've got to recognize those who walk in the blessings of God and get close to them as close as possible. You've got to know that blessings come from association. Amen. We know ultimately they come from God, but y'all making it hard on a brother this morning. Work with me. Believe it or not, y'all, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, people are watching and seeing God's glory radiate from you as you walk in his blessings. Even those who are not seeking God will benefit. Somebody say, how? I'm glad you asked. Because you may be wondering, how is that? Well, when you yield yourself to the service of the Lord and seek to be filled with his Holy Spirit, he will anoint you in such a way that you will capture the attention of others who are watching you. As you welcome Christ's supernatural grace, you invite a greater measure of his power and might to flow through you and in you, it will in turn prosper others. This is the impact of divine favor. Anybody want to walk in the favor of God? I call it the fog, the favor of God. Anybody want to walk in divine favor? I'm telling you, when you do, it will cause people to recognize you and see, man, what is it? How did they get it? I'm telling you, this impact of divine favor happens when you have a daily thriving relationship with our Heavenly Father. So that's why it's so vital, if you please, especially in these last and evil days where everything is so chaotic and crazy in the times we're living in. I'm just about done. In my closing, the altar has never been closed. It's always been open. You see me walk back and forth. Nothing prohibited me. Just like it won't prohibit you from coming. Can I get you all to stand? In my closing, let this be the prayer that we would all strive to pray. And that prayer sounds something like this. Jesus, I ask you that your divine favor in my life would draw those who don't know you so that they can come to know you in the power and might of your Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, YouTube, Facebook, Anchor, we are blessed by association. With every head bowed and all eyes closed. Now, Father, you knew who was going to be here this morning. Matter of fact, you designed this message just for them. You designed the songs that they heard just for them. Now, Lord, the question on the floor is, are they prepared to come now to the altar and have a talk with you and share with you, Lord, how they've been walking outside of what you have in store for them? They're on the outside looking in, wondering. Well, the search should be over, because now, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, you've heard by your association with godliness, with righteousness, it will bring you blessings. If you're here, the altar is open. Please come. God bless these that are coming. And as they're coming, I just want you to know, as they are standing there, they will be anointed with oil. There's nothing special about that oil. You can get it at Kmart, Walmart, and any other place that sells olive oil. But what it is significant is that in obedience to the word of God, is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil and pray over them. And watch out now. The prayer of faith. Watch what it'll do. Maybe there's somebody here and you heard the message and you're wrestling within yourself and you're saying, I heard it, but how does it apply to me? I'm telling you how it applies to you. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. That's where the association comes from. Sin, it left this crimson stain, but he washed. Are you here? Maybe somebody's here and God's been dealing with you. There's been the spirit of suicide trying to whisper in your ear, telling you that there's no sense in even living. The devil is a liar. God has great things in store for you. Maybe somebody's struggling. And whatever your struggle is, I want you to know the struggle is real, but God is real too. T-O-O. God is real, real. And he wants to meet you right where you are. Are you here?
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We've been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise.